With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
We the ish girls. I got Jenny and Lindsay in this bitch, girl. Make you move your hips while sipping gin, girl. Make you bounce your tits like it's a jig, girl. Like boom, sip kombucha for your womb. Hanestine squad link up, it's like boom. The girls be giving you vibes. Tune it, chill out, and feel good inside. Like ish girls. Hey, we the ish girls.
Hey, girls. Welcome back to It Girls Podcast. This is Jenny.
This is Lindsay.
How are we all, girls? Oh my God, it's well. We're doing some pre-recording, so you all guys all have some content over Christmas, Avi. Happy Christmas in 2 days, girls.
Happy Christmas.
Happy Crimbo. It's Christmas.
If you are bored at home, your mammy and your nan and your dad are wrecking your head, your sister stealing your shit, you need some time in your room, peace, away from your auntie asking you about the fella who broke your heart and the college that you dropped out of. You need X-Gals.
Hell yes.
If X-Gals is not enough, we are doing weekly X-Gal episodes throughout the winter season, throughout silly season, and they're juicy. They're a lot more personal. So if you are missing out on your pals or you're just needing that kind of connection, that's what people come to X-Gals for, because there's a whole catalogue of 115 episodes.
I mean, so many fucking episodes, girls. Like, you, like, this is just, if, as I said, we always say it, if you fly through the one episode and you're like, I need more, just sign up.
If you're addicted.
Yeah, like in December, we had obviously Jenny Keane on. We did a really funny episode where we talked about unpopular opinions. We got everyone's.
Like, I went in.
We both went in. We had Sarah and Fiona on, and we're doing like a kind of overall wrap up of the year over there. And we've got some really exciting guests lined up for 2021 already that we're recording as well. Like, we are working fucking hard. So a fiver a month, as we said, like, look, 25th up to the 25th, you're having fun, you're out drinking. There's that weird period. A period being the operative word between the 25th and New Year's Day, where you're like, I've like the Christmas. It feels weird to watch a Christmas movie when it's the 27th. I find I'm like,
it's the post Christmas come down.
Yes,
the you're slump. Like, it's not Christmas anymore.
So what better way than to binge on X-Gals? Go over, sign up there. It's patreon.com /itgalspodcast. And if you're looking for to do a little bit of shopping, we also have our merch live, which is on our website too. You can go have a look at that. We've got cute hoodies, totes, all the rest. And yeah, I mean, like, we've got it all over here, girlies, and
that's where the community exists.
Community.
That's where the community is. Oh, gross. I sound like a fucking politician. Lindsay for president, It Girls for president. That's where you can tap away, making new friends. When the lockdown lifted, some of our ex-gals met up and had this like brunch, bottomless brunch. They're making real pals. So that is where you can connect with people. They all follow each other on the gram. They're real life friends. It's where you can watch our live stream. It's where you get your discounts for everything. It's if you're a real one, you're an X-Gal.
And we have a very exciting X-Gal bonus, which will be coming out between Christmas and New Year's Day, which we're not going to announce yet, but just trust me, it's a long awaited bonus. Boner bonus.
We'll leave it there.
Okay, so Christmas, Lynn's favorite and least favorite Christmas song.
Okay. I have two favorites I can't choose.
Okay.
Okay. Blue Christmas, Elvis Presley.
That's one of mine. Okay, so do a Christmas song and Christmas carol.
Oh.
Just to mix it up. So your favorite song?
Oh.
Elvis.
Well, you see, I love that Elvis was the most Christmassy man in the world.
Whole album.
Albums. He was obsessed. And he did like also.
He had OCD.
There will be a yeah, he does. Obsessed with Christmas disorder. There will be peace in the valley for me someday. He's just like, I found this weird Elvis website years ago that was like every photo ever taken of Elvis in of his personal collection. It was like him skiing, him like on a, like all this stuff.
And can I say, sorry to interrupt, but I know you'll agree, fucking, what's it called? Silver bucket? Bucket, what, bucket list trip, Graceland.
Oh, 100 emoji, yeah.
Like, I need to go there. And then go to Dolly Parton land.
He's such a little weirdo.
I know.
I have this book that is all of his possessions photographed. He had like a turquoise gun. How cool would that be if I was like known to have a turquoise gun? I'd have rose quartz, but like he's still.
Yeah.
But he was obsessed with Christmas. I love that about him.
I love that.
Like he, in that weird website I found, there was like a catalogue of images of him like in Santa hats. Like he was obsessed with Christmas. No. Like it was his thing. He would like decorate his home like so extravagantly, like go away in the snow. Like he was a Christmas hoe.
And any Christmas carol you love?
I wouldn't be a carol gal because I was forced to go to church at Christmas and I was like.
Just traditional song. They don't have to be, you know, religious.
I do like singing rum pum 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 pum.
I do like that. I do like that.
It's so like British and annoying.
And what's your least favorite Christmas song?
Probably rum pum 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 pum. My least. Give us a few there.
Okay. My least favorite is It's Christmas.
Oh, Christmas song. Yeah.
I hate the British ones. I'm sorry. Yeah, yeah.
Because it kind of feels like you're in the pub, everyone's fucking knocking you out of the way. You're like, fucking bitch.
You've
realized, you know that this is an expensive Rattenborough dress.
You've realised you're way too drunk. You're going home to puke on Christmas Eve. Nothing more grim.
Or going home at Christmas Eve when it's like 5 a.m. You're like, my mom is going to kill me. Oh my God. Because like I usually have to do the Christmas shit, you know. And then I'm like, mammy. Because I'm usually staying at my mom and dad's house. I'm like, please let me go out.
Please let me go out. My Christmas wish.
They're like, you're not going out Christmas Eve, David. Like telling the whole, like, I'm locking up. Me and my sisters escape. And drink and be merry, and then come like sneaking in.
Oh yeah,
I fall all the time, and my mum's like, "Oh my god, getting up at 5 a.m. to put the turkey in." What's your favorite Christmas song?
Favorite Christmas song? Okay, well, I do love an Elvis moment. Mm-hmm. Blue Christmas is incredible, but to be different, I also have been loving Frank Sinatra's. I'm a classic. Frank Sinatra also has a Christmas album.
Of course he does. Of course cheeky he does. Bastard.
And that's gorge. You know, I love the classics.
Yeah, I love
the
classic old Americana.
Yeah, like 50s, 60s, you know, Americana, that kind of shit. Favorite carol, I love Ring Christmas Bells, Merrily Ring. Because I love,
gives me anxiety.
Oh no, I love it.
I'm like, am I being chased by elves?
Because in my school, so we used to have carol service in secondary school, and it was like, we took it really seriously. They'd be like, 60 people in, you had to audition to get in, but everyone would want to get in because you used to get to skip class for like carol service practice. So like for the whole entirety of December you could just mitch and be like, I was in carol service, because like the teachers would never know when the practice is on, and it would be on for like a whole day or half a day.
I loved that shit.
And we used to do that song, and it would sound so cool because you do it like, and then then altos would come in, and then the bass would come in like, ring Christmas. But it was so
cool. And you're literally like dabbing all
over
this shit.
Okay, I'm gonna be on TV soon. And yeah, that my least favorite is that It's Christmas. I hate all the 80s ones.
Unpoppy a pin.
Yeah.
Don't really like the fucking Shame Again one. Fairy Tale New York.
Yeah.
I'm just like, that doesn't make me feel Christmassy. That makes me feel poor. I feel poor when I listen to that song.
Sad.
Yeah, I'm like,
and now they've politicized it. So
I know.
Which
is like,
I'm like, now I'm like, it's lost its charm.
And it's just
not
like,
that I care about saying that fucking word. I'm just like,
it's like, you ruined it.
You've ruined it.
It's over.
It's been ruined on both sides.
It's dead.
It's dead. Put it to bed.
Also, I love Silent Night by Elvis Presley.
Oh, yeah.
He really, really just gets into that song.
He has OCD. Obsessive Christmas disorder.
I know, like he'd wear like in some of the pictures he was wearing like an agua color ski, like a very effeminate, like cinched at the waist.
I love the way you always say cinched.
What is it? Cinched. Cinched. I just don't like that word. Cinched. I feel cinch makes it more like, it's more descriptive of the.
I think cinched is nicer.
I just don't like the.
But you can identify with whatever spelling you like.
That is how I say it. Just like Pomscale.
Pomscale. And your mum says Prosecco.
Prosecco insists. I'm like, mom, it's Prosecco. She's like,
whatever.
Prosecco, everyone. Ooh, I love Christmas morning Prosecco.
Oh yeah, I was just about to ask. That made me reminded me. What's like your favorite like Christmas morning ritual?
Okay, preferably, and this year I don't think I will be hungover on Christmas Day because there's no, like, I'm not going out on Christmas Eve. It's not
I'm
the
not
same.
A on pop opinion. I'm not a big Christmas Eve goer either.
BTW, shout out to my fucking local arsehole of a hotel, the Golflings.
Why?
They got taken over and they're so rude to the locals.
Is that where you usually
That's
go?
That's where I used to go. And oh. like everyone would be there. Like everyone from my school. It was so gas. Like,
and they don't let you?
They only served just one drink and it was residents only. And Ugh. Like they were just so fucking rude. There's this big tall American woman. She's like, excuse me, excuse me, excuse me. I feel like freaking kicking her in the shin.
She's the one that
I'm
came over to us during summer
yeah,
that time.
She is.
She's like, it's private property. It's like,
I know. It's like it's locked down and I'm sat on a bench.
Yeah.
I'm hardly like trying to.
Yes, I'm drinking a can.
We weren't. Luna was having blueberries.
No, that's true. And also, can I say, all the memories were lovely. They're like, hello, girl. It's great to see some legs out here today.
I know. We're like, hiya, Declan.
And then she was such a bitch.
I know. She came over big narc. It's like, sorry, you're 7 foot and insecure about it.
Yeah. I can't. I'm not big on the Christmas Eve pintage. I mean, don't know the pintage, I love. But I just hate the packedness. It actually gives me anxiety. And like, so where my mom and dad live is where I went to school and there would be a load of people, but you either go to the yacht, which is like huge and like so packed, or like my local, but there wouldn't be people I know there. But it's just, I hate the not being able to move.
Yeah, yeah.
But I mean, I do drink.
I hate the spillage on my dress because it's like an expensive New Year's Eve or Christmas Eve dress that I've purchased and then some.
Well, I don't do a Christmas Eve outfit now. Interesting.
Really?
No. I haven't even got done a Christmas Day outfit in a while. Maybe this year I will. Fuck it.
I adore a Christmas Day outfit. There
that was my favorite thing as a kid. My
more fun.
Fucking favorite thing was when my mom would bring me to buy me fucking Christmas clothes. Oh. I like freaking love
the novelty of, because like I stay in on Christmas Day, obviously, in my parents' house, and I just absolutely adore teetering around my mom and dad's
oh, being
gap
so overly
in
dressed
heels.
I love
slipping
that
and sliding
looking
half drunk
like
down the stairs.
Slutty.
I know. Me and my sisters look like hooers going down that stairs.
I always look
Christmas
tart
night.
And my mom's always like, oh,
like, where are you going?
At least you've got your sisters. It's me, my dad, my mom and my brother, and I'm there in a bandeau dress and 6-inch heels, which I never wear.
I know, but it's handy because you're not walking. You're walking up the stairs.
Yeah,
you know?
true.
Or to get a log.
I love
throw
a morning. I love a morning drink on Christmas Day.
Oh, there's nothing
and
better.
And it's always the same in my house. It's always my mom refusing, me and my dad getting stuck in. My brother's also like weirdly like, no, I will wait for my designated drink. And my mom's like, would you stop with that? And me and my dad like skull an entire bottle of champagne.
I usually have
year
a Bucks Fizz because people don't give out to you for Bucks Fizz.
Yeah, we do that, but I make them and I put like a dribble of orange juice in it.
Yeah, beautiful. Beautiful.
Yeah, just to make it orange.
I mean, it's like, what is the point? Oh, do you know what I love? A Christmas Day nap.
Oh, hon.
Post dinner.
And then, secondsies.
Yes. I need like a fucking second helping of Brussels sprouts.
Oh, hell yeah.
And anyone who's like anti-Brussels sprouts, like, hello.
Get a life. Honestly, get a life. It's a seasonal veg.
And it's so
and get
delicious
into it. They're so good. I fucking stand. That's my so then to end it off. And not to end it off, let's indulge a bit more.
CD, baby.
So favorite part of the Christmas dinner.
I'm gonna say stuffing. I hate that word.
Fucking love stuffing.
I could eat a whole bowl.
My
of
mam
stuffing
is stuffing as
my
well.
My mam is stuffing.
No, I don't do like a sausage meat stuffing.
Oh, no meat in my stuffing.
Me neither.
Because I'm vegan. No, I'm vegetarian. But I
do like we do just like breadcrumbs and herbs.
Yeah, same.
Good.
I hate when the big like thyme gets like,
yeah,
it's like a freaking fishbone in the back of your throat when the big stalk of thyme. But I do love a stuffing moment.
I love thyme.
I get stuffing in sandwiches sometimes, and like, can you not keep questioning about it at the deli?
They're I'm like stuffing.
Because I kind of say it under my breath because I'm like stuffing.
Can I have some bread in my
like,
bread?
Stuffing. With tuna. I'm like, listen, bitch, I'm not judging the fact that you're 57 and serving me in a damn deli. So don't judge what I'm putting in my sarnie.
And don't act like you've never been asked this before.
I see builders coming in
with their coleslaw cheese rashers, please. Yeah, yeah.
Stuffing in a fillet and a haddock. You're like, what?
Pecking a ham there.
I'm like, put that stuffing in my fucking
tuna sandwich.
And do not mention it, bitch, because I'm muttering it for a reason, because this hot builder is behind me.
Stuffing, yeah, no, stuffing is bae. If you're an OG, you'll get that reference. The fact I nearly said that, seriously.
No, you did say it seriously. I know. Till heaven calls you out.
No, just there, though. Oh, no, I said it seriously. That's it. Oh, I don't know what. Shout out if you get the reference.
Stuffing is bae.
Stuffing is so good.
What's your favorite?
Well, what we always do, which is actually we're very indie in this way.
Oh.
We do a potato gratin on Christmas.
Love it.
Because I'm not a big, hey, look, don't shoot me, girls. I don't really like roast potatoes.
Do you even care about the famine? do you even know about our history?
But roast potatoes. I love potato gratin and I love mashed potatoes. Roast potatoes don't really do much for me. I'm like, it's basically a glorified chip.
I prefer to not know that they're cooked in goose fat.
Or just, yeah, like, I mean.
Like, where the fuck are geese in this godforsaken country?
Llandaff.
Really?
Yeah, you always see them. My mum's always like, there's the geese flying.
Oh my gosh, no way.
Yeah, they fly from Llandaff to Africa.
Shut up.
Now, the ones we get their fat from are most likely on a farm.
Oh yeah, they're hardly like.
Quick, get around. One from the air, Timmy. We'll make the goose fat for the potatoes. If we don't get the goose fat, we'll never be able to get mummy's favourite potatoes.
Well, you love a sustainable queen around here.
But yeah, no, I love it. We do a potato gratin.
Love
and
it.
When you have that gratin with a little bit of ham and a little bit of gravy,
okay,
topped with a bit of Brussels.
Drop the EP, be it.
Now, I don't like it when people have Brussels sprouts and it has like rashers. You know,
do you know what I don't like?
I just like a plain Brussels sprout. Thank you very much.
Now, this is what you do with a Brussels sprout. What you do is you don't score the bastard. And I don't mean.
Oh, at the bottom?
Yeah.
I always score them.
Never. And you don't boil. They are so much more condensed of flavour if you don't score them and pan fry them with a fuckload of butter.
Oh, that's stunning, yes.
But my mum used to, sorry, don't mean to shame her, boil them.
I would not so much boil, but I would blanch them. Searing hot water.
Do you know what word I
like
hate randomly?
3 minutes.
Parboil. I just hate that.
Yeah, like parboil.
It's like, why are you, what's par? Half boiling? Ew.
Yeah, well, you half boil them to then roast them.
Yeah, I know.
Cuts the roasting time down.
Home. I get that. And I'm just like, you're cutting time with my Brussels sprouts? Are you okay? Maybe just put the time into them. Thank you, mother.
Well, I do like, they're very nice baked, a Brussels sprout.
Interesting.
In like a tray. I got these ones from Dunn's recently. And if you find them in Dunn's, get these. They are so good. They come in a little tray. And they're shredded Brussels sprouts.
Oh.
And it has pecans and walnuts in it. You bake that for like 20 minutes. And then they give you this like balsamic honey glaze. And you pour that on for the last 10. Mix it up.
Oh, shit, bitch.
It is so fucking good.
Okay, maybe I don't need to listen to the Jenny Keane orgasm film thing on X-Gals. Because I just came over a Brussels sprout.
Ew. Oh my god, you know the way like carrots and all are phallic. Brussels sprouts are kind of clitoral.
Oh god, I know, but imagine if you were like masturbating with a Brussels sprout, that thing would be lodged right up there.
No, I mean it looks like a clit.
Oh yeah. No, they're beautiful looking things. They're so like flowers. You're not gonna make a little crimbo dinner for me tonight. Do you know, I don't like crimbo, don't like that word.
Crimbo I hate.
I don't like Xmas. Very, very anti-Christ.
I like Xmas. The X stands for the cross.
No, it doesn't.
It does.
A cross.
Also Christmas, let's be real. I know you're Christian.
Don't
now. Christian has
say this.
Christmas has evolved beyond. Christmas was never only about Christ. We've celebrated Christmas way before Christ. On the 25th, Romans celebrated
Christmas.
Yeah, but they just adapted it because the world became Christian.
But X is not the cross. X is at Christ. It's like, I don't want to celebrate the Christ part. I just want the mass part, Christmas. No, but no.
But mass
no
is the mass.
It's just like it's.
I disagree, hon. I'm all for it. Christmas for all.
For all, everyone's welcome. But I just don't like Xmas. I just like plain old Christmas.
It's Xmas.
I don't mind. Do I mind? Yeah. Do you know what I'm not? You know when girls like are putting up their Christmas selfies and they say Kissmas.
Oh yeah, no, gross.
It's like, we get it. You're a slut.
Just call it Christmas.
Yeah, Christmas. Nice name. Anyway,
Crimbo's horrendous.
Crimbo is very grim.
Crimbo.
Crimbo's like, you're getting nothing branded.
Bow selector. Proper Crimbo selector.
It's like you're getting just nothing branded under your tree. You know the way? Like it's a very, you know.
Aldi.
Yeah.
Not even little.
Yeah, yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Bad.
What are we talking about today, hon?
We are going through some celeb scandals. So we have three different kind of topical celebrities mm-hmm. that we're going in on. And they're very much kind of wrapped around this one. The kind of topic or the theme is plastic surgery array. Mm-hmm. So obviously everyone, like, plastic surgery has gotten so much more normalized. Like a few years ago when Kylie Jenner first came out with the lip fillers, everyone was like, oh my God, oh my God. Now it's like, hey, where are you? Oh, just going to Turkey, get BBL. Oh, cool. Yeah, see you when you're back. Everything's so nonchalant. Mm-hmm. So we are talking about the kind of,
like, reality TV scandals more so. Because I think, like, because we've obviously did, like, we've done these, like, every couple of months, really, these celebrity scandal episodes. Obviously, we did our one about relationship scandals. We did iconic kind of chaotic couples as well. This one, we wanted to kind of veer away from relationships and more look at the celebs themselves, the scandal as a whole. What does it say about a society and what it says? And, like, also, I think if we're going to look about what something says as a society, no better place than reality TV, because, like, this is, like, obviously in the last, like, 10, 15 years, 20 probably if you consider, like, older Big Brother, this is like a reflection of where TV is going. We're making new celebrities from this. They're a whole different breed of celeb, you know, that way. But they are celebs in their own right, because, you know, people used to be like, they're not celebrities, they're
they have no talent.
They're dying to be celebs. Like, sorry, that's the new celeb. They are right up there. Kim Kardashian proved it. She's a celeb of reality TV. There you go. Fucking suck on that bitch. Yeah. So first off, we're going to be talking about the girls of Geordie Shore.
Yes.
Whoa. So Geordie Shore obviously is a TV show, popular TV show by MTV that was kind of based an English version of Jersey Shore. And it was, I mean, way more chaotic than Jersey Shore.
Way more toxic.
Yeah. Like, Jersey Shore still had this, and I don't know if it's because we're from over here that it's like, the Americanness kind of makes it a bit separate, but Jersey Shore always had, like, I mean, obviously there was, like, a bit of chaos in there, but it was always fun and it was quite lighthearted.
Jersey Shore,
yeah.
I think as well because they were just, like, they were kind of like characters. I know it was reality, but like, Paulie D with his hair, Ronnie with his big gains, like, they almost didn't, I couldn't imagine them as real people. I didn't, but I know, when Geordie Shore came out, I was like, okay, it actually created and, like, made a kind of a new type of person.
Yeah,
we now
know
that kind of person.
Yeah, and I never knew about where they're from. Newcastle, isn't it?
Yeah.
Geordie, obviously. I never knew that there was, like, I remember when it came out first, I was like, what are they trying to do here? And I was like, oh, they actually quite are like people from Jersey. That is crazy. Yeah. They are like the English version.
Well, I think it kind of explored the fact that in, you know, in every country there is, like, a subgroup of these, I don't know how you can describe these people. It's like they're norm core but insane, massive seshers, just have their own outrageous style. Like, when you look at Paulie D's hair, when you look at, like, Holly Hagen and, like, how they used to dress, it's just like, it's, as an outsider, so insane. But then
it's like
it really bled into, like, society so much. And when you are going out clubbing, and, like, which I was when I was watching these shows, these people exist so much.
Yeah.
They're like the normal people. So it is kind of like a very much a descriptor of, like, reality in a certain sense.
Yes.
A weird reality.
Yes.
That you kind of are like, oh yeah, I never really noticed that, you know?
Yeah. I mean, and then the weirdest thing, so what we're going to be kind of touching on now, beyond just Geordie Shore as a show, is kind of like the evolution of mainly the women in the show, because mm-hmm. the men, like, didn't change at all.
Physically,
yeah, exactly. But I mean, I'm sure they changed people, but, like, they, you know, even now they look the same. Your man Gaz, like, he actually, speaking of the ick from the few weeks ago.
Oh.
Gaz Geordie Shore.
I have his book. Oh, yeah. If anyone wants to lend. Amazing read.
What's it called? The Parsnip or something?
Yeah, Me and My Parsnip. Which, by the way, is so absolutely cringe and, like, fuckboy to the highest degree.
You took it from Charlotte.
Yeah, she named that. That was her little bit.
Yeah.
You fucked her over. Not with your parsnip.
Well.
Well, sometimes. But, like, you know, you, like, shagged her off.
Yeah.
Pied her off. And then, but used it for your name to sell your weird autobiography.
Yeah. And all you can think about is talking about you and your big fucking dick.
And now it's so weird. Like, the men, well, him particularly, he obviously had that situation with Charlotte where they had the ectopic pregnancy.
Yeah, very sad.
It went, you know, like, it really affected her and stuff like that. And then he went on to find his
GF
fiance, whatever, they've had two children.
Have they? I didn't know.
Yeah, two children. I think one was like premature, something like that. So, you know, he's living this normcore, like Mr. Daddy life.
You're loving that word today.
Normcore. I use it a lot. I use it a lot.
Lately.
Yeah.
Normcore. Remember when that was a thing? It was like, was it 2000 and like.
Do people not use that?
I feel like that was like a thing when I remember when I lived.
I dropped that kick.
When I lived in New York, normcore was like the thing. It was a style.
Yeah. I see it as a kind of person. Personality. Okay. Yeah, personality and style. Yeah.
I just haven't heard it in years. I love it.
Normcore. It's just means normal.
Yeah. Normie. Yeah. No, totally.
A normie kind
it's
of
a great, it's a great, great fucking word. Yeah. Get me wrong. We're wrong. I love the word.
I'll be dropping it a couple times. This
but yeah. So he had like, he's living this like normie kind of life. Yeah. And she's still kind of going, oh, I'm going to talk. But like.
Well, because of his, and I mean, this is why we want to kind of talk about the females. Because does it have anything to do, or does it have a lot to do with the fact that they didn't change as much physically?
Yeah.
Like Gaz was like outrageous on television. He literally spoke about bedding thousands of women and like all this kind of stuff and treated women like shit and was like, you know, just this weird sex pest and proud of it. And like all girls loved him somehow. How? He's literally like a grease ball.
He's gross. I think it's like more so that like the men's behavior was never questioned in Geordie Shore. Like, obviously the premise of the show is that we're getting like eight wild fucking crazy like partiers at Geordie's and they all like going out and getting more, oh, you know, like that mm-hmm. was the premise. So like, but it was very, they were treated very differently from the media. Like the women were getting shit faced. And like, I mean, the women actually got way more drunk than the men did.
Yeah.
But like they were, I mean, their treatment by the media was so much worse than the men. The men, like, they, as he said, like, Gaz spent his whole entire career on Geordie Shore fucking over Charlotte.
Degrading women.
Degrading women. Like, he was awful. The things he said about women on that show are like, I mean, and look, I'm not looking for anyone to be cancelled because that is the premise of reality TV, okay? I always say it on reality TV, give me a villain any day. I don't want the utmost stars, like amazing people being represented on reality TV.
It was also
TV.
Holding a mirror up to society. Yeah. There are men like that. Like yeah. They exist in the clubs.
And there's loads of them, you know? Yeah. But I think that like there was never as much backlash faced for the men than there was for the women. Like the men would literally go out basically being like, we're fucking like, we're leaving the girls behind today and we're going out and riding, getting, we're going to see how many birds we can. What do they call it again? What was that word they used for the fucking sex? Was a smash or
oh yeah, it was something gross,
mush or something. It was
yeah, something
gross.
So gross.
It was so horrible. And like, but the women, like, of yes, they did get drunk and stuff, but really their biggest crime was just getting wasted, and they yeah. were like torn to pieces in the media. Like Charlotte especially, because she was always pictured with like her tits hanging out. She was always, and
it's been all over the place.
And I do think that they kind of got a bit addicted to that feedback, because like I found like as the seasons went on, they like played up to the drunkenness. They knew that they would get celebrity status in the show if they were getting like outrageously drunk. Because I remember Vicky Pattinson said that like she left the show because she was like, well, A, she started to get really fit and stuff and get in really good shape. And she was like, you just physically cannot live this lifestyle. She's like, you're doing 6 months of being really healthy and then like 3 months of filming and you just get, you're drinking so much alcohol. You're eating absolutely.
They provide
shy.
You the food.
Yeah, they provide you the food.
Which
they provide
is kebab,
you and
pizza.
The drink. And yeah. the drink, like it's basically encouraged to be getting mortal, as they call it. So like she quit it because of that.
Mortal, as they call it?
As they call it in Geordie land. So like I think that like, and then when we saw new people come on, like Marnie and Chloe specifically, they were very.
They knew that they knew. If I want to get traction off exactly. of this is what I have to do. There was exactly. like there was a
they
a
came
map.
In guns blazing.
Yeah.
For episode one, pissing themselves.
Throwing shit around the gaff.
Puking.
Like. Disgusting behavior, quite
they
frankly.
They deserved it. No, but what I'm saying is I wonder how much that like affected, like, because we're going to be talking about how their appearance changed so much and the drastic levels of plastic surgery that they had. And I wonder, is it because like, it's like one thing they could control, their image is like their veneer of their image, you know, that way, like how they are, fair enough, they might be on TV like messes and pissing themselves and acting like, you know, kind of like, I wouldn't love to see myself like that, to be honest. But then they're walking around with like BBLs, tiny waist, huge tits, perfect, what they see as perfect face, mm-hmm. tiny noses, you know, that way. It's like, it's so interesting, that dynamic, because
well, that was hugely interesting that like, I mean, and I'm sure obviously women get a lot more dragged.
Yeah.
Women are consumers of showbiz media.
Totally.
So women are the...
We're the customer of it.
Yeah. So we, and women, we always say like, yes, women support women. We love that over here. That's what we want. But like, this is what happens on media.
Yeah.
Like if women, like women love to discuss other women's looks. They love to tear down other women's looks to make themselves feel better. And these women were definitely put in that in that position. With the men, it was like, ugh, Gaz is gross. Mm. Scotty's gorge. Aaron, random tattoos. But they weren't kind of dismembered to the degree of like the females, like where... I'm sure they were just constantly seeing this like slew of comments and vile things said about them. And I remember, I think it was on Snapchat, Chloe Ferry, she got some work done. It could have been her nose. And like she had all the bandages on and she took out her phone and she was like storying, crying with all these bandages, being like, are you happy now? I did this for you.
I remember that. That was so dark.
So dark. Basically saying, you've pushed me to get this nose job. Here I am, bruised, post-surgery. And I did it because of you, you know, and it got increasingly uncomfortable. Now, I mean, they started off with like, you know, lip fillers, the Botox, extensions.
Yeah,
tan.
Which is like what, that's also on brand for them. You know, that way it's like every single reality TV, like, there's a, on Drag Race, there's always like a meme where they're like, oh, there, like there's the queen with her like pre-season lips, because like when they're on the show they're always like tiny lips, and then they come back and they're like hello. But it's like, I mean, that's just what it is. I mean, every reality TV show has that, with small cosmetic procedures becoming more available to the public. Like, yeah, you go off and you get, and also I can imagine it, because like,
and a little freshen ups,
and I can imagine seeing yourself on TV for a whole fucking season, and then
we can
like,
barely watch yourself on YouTube.
Oh my god! And then you're like, I need the Botox, like the amount of times, and like that's just the reality. You see yourself through someone else's eyes. You notice little things that you might want to, or things that already bothered you that you're like, okay, I actually want to change.
But what's
that.
Intriguing about like this whole that whole new world of what created because of that like normcore energy where they're like they are dressed in a type of way that they perceive to be kind of like normal, mm-hmm. you know? But it actually is quite insane. Like you're wearing snow boots and rara skirts to the club. There's nothing normal about that. But then like, you know, in the kind of industry of like showbiz, we see people like Simon Cowell getting eye lifts and Botox. Like it is normalized,
the kind of
thing. But they took it to the extreme. It was like their look was already quite extreme. Like say when we see, let's talk about like Holly Hagen for a while. When she first came in, she had like that fiery red hair. She was almost kind of borderline emo, for God's sake.
They all had this kind of emo vibe. I'm like, we're looking, we'll leave all these links that we talk about, by the way, in the description of the pod, so you can have a look on along with us. So this one's kind of running through there before and
after. She came in with dark brown hair.
Dark brown hair with these almost coon tails, which were like a emo thing. Raccoon tail, like extensions.
And I do, it looked like that, but I think what they were trying to do was extensions weren't that like as kind of accessible back then. It was the same. I remember when my friends and stuff started wearing stenos. You didn't understand them.
It's like when
you start wearing makeup and you're like, you don't have a clue.
Well, I mean with the blonde bits. That's the
That was
like what you call it.
It was kind of Christina Aguilera dirty
you'd
vibe.
Call it like a raccoon tail because it was like you'd have this extra bit. It was like they loved it.
She was a bigger girl. She had like, was known for her big tits. They were natural at the start, were they?
They were natural. I think maybe not, but she, it says here like she was a size 16 or whatever. She had thin eyebrows, blah, blah, blah. I remember that like she was kind of spoken about as like a big girl, like it
a big
was,
girl
it was
and
a noted thing in
and
it.
She was kind of mocked for her look. She was never she wouldn't have been perceived as pretty, or
she wasn't the hot one. Like I mean, all reality TVs right have an archetype. It's like there's the hot one, there's the crazy one, there's the, this one. Like Vicky was kind of the hot one at the start,
which is random.
So
was Charlotte was the
Charlotte
kind of
was
like
the natural, but she was also like the laddish kind of
She was pretty but the tomboy. But Holly Hagen, like she went through that thing, remember X Factor contestant Frankie Kokoza?
Kokoza.
He got thrown off because he apparently was doing coke, but they had a one night stand, and I think he came out and was saying kind of things about her. So she was very much seen as this like,
which was horrible. She was dragged in the media as like the fugly one, which is obviously
the
not
the fugly
true.
One that you fucking joke about to the lads, like you'll never guess who I got with.
And she was remember she was the one that like someone would get with her and they'd like keep it secret.
Yeah,
I think Scotty got with her and he'd be like, oh, me and Ollie knows nothing fucking going on there, you know, that way. And which is horrible. And like, I can only imagine like seeing that being played out on TV, like how horrendous that would be to your image. Now she is looking like a different,
like an avatar
person. I mean, like, I will say now, this photo is definitely like photoshopped and stuff, but like I do appreciate that she hasn't gotten that tiny nose.
Yeah,
her nose is looking the same, And her facial work now, definitely her jaw here, I think, is more so face-tuned.
I do know, because I remember there was a kind of semi-viral photo that she got her smile lines filled.
Mm-hmm.
And she put up a photo and she fully looked like a chipmunk.
Because it always also looks really has the cheek crazy. Fillers. Yeah.
And whatever she's got going but on I do, with the jaw and I've, the lips and I've, the, you know.
Yeah, I find the craziest thing about her work, though, is the body work she's had done.
She's a guitar.
She has had, like, really, and now this is an ongoing thing. This is, like, what we're talking about. Like, this, the little nips and things from your face is, like, okay, like, we're pretty used to seeing that now. But, like, if you go on her Instagram now, because this article's even older, like, she just looks so different. Now, obviously, also, like, you can get surgery to an extent, but she's obviously also in the gym. Like, she has obviously, like, worked on her body. I'm looking at a bikini pic for her. She has full-on abs, you know, that way. But it's just, it's so crazy to see the difference in her, how different she fucking looks. She looks like also, a different human being.
Wouldn't you love, because what I find difficult with these kind of influencers or whatever you want to call them, you never really know what they look like.
Yes, because, like, it's everything's so face-tuned.
I would love to see her in real life. Yeah. Like,
I mean, same goes for, like, Kim Kardashian. You know, oh, yeah. I always say I would love to see her in real life, just be like, what? Like, what do you actually look like?
Yeah, because they're not normal looking people. Like, yeah. They're not natural looking people.
Yeah.
Oh, look, she dressed up as Christina Aguilera.
And she also dressed up as Kylie Jenner in the WAP video.
She should always dress like that.
I know, it looks way better on her.
Yeah, like, when she's wearing the, like, sweatpants with that insane bod and hair and everything is just so...
She has, like, a no makeup selfie up here and it's like, I just can't believe that's the same person.
It's so weird.
Her face is a V.
It just must be so... I would find that so scary to have a totally different face.
I know.
Like, that I made as well. Like, I mean, your face changes as you grow older, obviously. And, yeah, like, you know, my face even looks different from, like, 2 years ago. Like, same. Diet changes my face, etc.
Evan's always convinced I had a nose job. I'm like, I didn't. He sees old pictures of me. He's like, look at the size of your nose. I'm like, I haven't.
You kind of grow into your face. Like, my cheekbones have got kind of,
yeah,
more.
When the older you get, you lose the puppy fat. I realized, looking back on pictures, I had puppy fat up until I was like 27, 28.
Same. A couple of years ago,
like, I was like a chubby little face.
Yeah, so, like, you kind of, the older you get, the more gaunt you get.
Yeah, basically your collagen stops producing.
But, like, I just can't imagine, like, that's kind of natural. It's like having kids, I don't notice them grow.
Yeah.
But, like, physically doing something to your face and it being, like, in your hands, like, you have to love this face because you paid for it. You chose to do it, you know?
Yeah. So let's move on to Chloe then. Like, so Chloe here.
Chloe.
She joined.
Who would you say? So I'd say Chloe and Charlotte would be the most successful.
Yeah. Charlotte 100% is, I think,
the most
above
successful.
Everyone, the most successful.
Yeah, she's dipping in the past while.
She is she?
Yeah, it's just kind of, I think people are tiring of her because it's the same story. Like, it's gotten to the stage where, like, you know, Marnie has a child, Gaz has a child. Aaron Chambers is randomly doing UFC. Like, they're kind of moving on. And Charlotte's like, I have another Instagram boyfriend. Follow my crazy life.
It's, but, like, she's definitely, I think, business-wise, the most successful. She makes a lot of money.
Yeah. Her and, I would say, Chloe, because Chloe has her cosmetic.
Does she?
She has, like, I love that she actually went into, she made these, like, you can get fillers and shit, these salons.
She's making fillers?
No, she brought out, like, a, I think she has a string of salons or else.
Oh,
salon.
Fair play. Yeah, so,
like, she has capitalized on the fact, like, leaned into the fact that she has got work done and you can go to her company for work.
She's definitely the most, Chloe, who we're talking about now, she's the most transparent about her work, I do find, even though I'd say she's had the most amount of work.
Yeah, and when you see her, so she came onto Geordie Shore in 2015.
And she was 23. And, like, Holly was 19 when she joined. You forget how fucking, because, like, when Geordie Shore came out first, 2011, I was 21. So they're, like, my age. So I didn't see them as so young.
Mm-hmm.
But now I'm, like, fucking 19 being put through that. Fucking hell. So she was 20.
But even 19 being, like, making that choice that is going to, like, you know, follow you for your entirety of your life. Yeah. That's such a huge, like, you know, at 19, if someone said, hey, do you want to go into this house? It's filmed. You get free drink. You get a free gaff. You're like, yeah.
Of course I
do. Loads of hot guys. Cool.
Yeah. Duh. Fame.
Yeah,
money,
but then
of
you
course.
Don't understand the like impact that that will have on for your forever.
Yeah.
In so many different ways. So
100%.
Chloe, she's so pretty. I hate to be like that memmy, but she's so pretty when she first came on. And
she was just like, looks like a young girl, you know, that way. Like she really does. And she always talks about how like, she felt ugly. She, mm-hmm. I remember even on the show, she'd always be crying, being like, I'm so ugly and all this time and stuff, which is so hard to see. And then it's like, you know, where is the care from like MTV? You know, that way where it's like, I think it's probably changed a lot now since with reality TV and like scouting people, like especially since Caroline Flack and everything.
Sophie Gordon
and a lot of the stuff that's happened from like specifically Love Island, I think, because I think people...
Love Island obviously had the suicide impact, but yeah, in terms of mental health, Geordie Shore is huge. Like every yeah. single girl on the show has completely fucked up their appearance as far as I'm concerned.
I mean, like, well, you know, that so taste is obviously subjective, but even if we're just looking at it from like, I mean, I would be on the same boat as you in terms of like, I don't think any of them needed the amount of work they got, but
yeah,
I will say
my preference.
I will say that they've both, every single one of them has had extremely intensive and a lot of, like Chloe, what's her name? Charlotte's had like 3-4 nose jobs. Like it's a lot of elective surgery to
and
be having.
And boob jobs and everything
changed
else.
Their whole body. Like Chloe here, it says that she's had her lips done, an eyebrow lift, veneers, Botox, which is all like whatever. She had a few nose jobs and she's had full body BBL. Like she got like her waist and she's been, mm-hmm. as I said, extremely transparent about it.
Again, she does look like a guitar.
Yeah, her body is like, and she does her face, I can't get
and
over.
And it's like, I don't, that's not body shaming. I'm sure she brought a guitar as a picture to
go into
her
surgeon. Oh,
she
wants an hourglass. She wants that Kim K hourglass crazy figure.
And that's her bod and her face.
Her face looks, I mean, this is probably the most drastic face difference. Her face.
I'd say Charlotte's is.
I don't know. Look at that old picture of, go on, click on Chloe's Instagram there. Her face is so like you would not recognize her as the same person. If you went to school with her and knew her as that red haired picture and then you saw this girl walk down the street, you would not know they're the same person.
The thing about Chloe, what I will say is that like she has a look. She kind mm-hmm. of went for it. She kind of reminds me of like Julia Holland and all. The same kind of thing. It's like, okay, you're going for the
yeah.
blonde, fake, big tits, you know, big lips, all that. It's kind of like a look.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's mm-hmm. like that look, that kind of girl, I get it. And, you know, that's obviously what she was going for.
Yeah.
So in some ways, I'm like, if that's what she was going for, she got it.
In fairness, like, her work isn't... I would be interested to see what the facial work looks like in real life, because I think that's just always so different on Instagram.
And the body. Like, her stomach looks quite mottled, which I'm guessing is the liposuction.
I think what it is like, you know, to not... I guess like we're kind of picking them apart on their different works, but I just think that it's like she doesn't look like the same person, and that's what the most shocking thing.
Well, like, I mean, there's body shaming, which obviously, and then there's like you have, I mean, I do feel like it's almost like, am I shaming your body when it wasn't really yours to begin with? Like, I'm talking about a nose that you I'm not talking about like the nose that you had. It's a nose that you, and when you're looking at someone with surgery, as every woman and every person has insecurities, and everyone I'm sure has thought, even the thought is floated in and out of their head if it was a second, mm-hmm. you think, whether when you were younger, like, oh, I'd love a nose job, oh, I'd love this, oh, I'd love that. So when you see someone, you know, actively promoting and speaking about this work that they've mm-hmm. done, it kind of, I feel, gives you the ability to speak on it.
Yeah.
You know? And yeah. I don't, it's like, again, totally, like, obviously she's, I'm sure, enjoying herself because she's, you know, taking the pics, loving her life.
But as you said, that was really sad.
She's made a business out of her work.
But like, it's so sad that, as you said, she came on like crying, being like, this is what you want. This is what you wanted.
And that's where kind of like self, you know, self-control has to come into it. Because like in all walks of life, whether now, obviously the magnitude that they would get it because of their fame and because of also like, it's an interesting thing. I always notice, because what I find so intriguing with all the Geordie Shore girls who've gotten this amount of work, it's like, are you in some ways doing this to keep, to stay relevant?
Relevancy,
because like,
it's
you
a
get
new, it's a new media, headline.
Yeah, you get like huge attention. Like Vicky Pattinson hasn't got as much work and she's mm-hmm. not as in the media. Like she obviously kind of went more into the, like with the presenting side and stuff like that. But she's not getting the regurgitative media kind of traction.
What's
because
interesting
of, like, constant
about Vicky is that like although she didn't like go into the work as much, like she's is the one who's been open about suffering from like severe eating disorders. So it's like, because like, you know, they do say that after a while with getting these severe surgeries, it can lean into kind of a type of body dysmorphia, because like you're not seeing how you're actually looking. You're constantly wanting to change, like surgery addiction, mm-hmm. you know?
Normally being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
With Vicky, it's like just a different way of expressing body dysmorphia. Like she went through, because I remember she put on a lot of weight in the first few seasons of Geordie Shore, as she said, from the unhealthy lifestyle. You know, she was like filming so much and they're eating all this shit and she wasn't doing any exercise. And also, you know, as we know, like if you're joining a show at 20, your metabolism is very different 5 years later. Yeah. So that does catch up on you.
Like, and she was having like traumatic breakups and like big. Yeah.
And her relationship was on TV and they were engaged and they were broke and they were killing each other. So like she, even though like 100% she looks so natural compared to the other girls, but she did like put her body through a lot of abuse as well, you know, that way, and probably struggled just as much.
But also in a different way. Know, the difference I'd say between, well, I guess like when you know, when you think of their influence, I remember like there was that point in time when they kind of, the, if they weren't working, they were purposely getting these photographs. So when Vicky was at her biggest, same with Charlotte, there were photographs that came out of them in Dubai or wherever they were looking large in the beach in these ill-fitting bikinis.
Oh God,
and
yeah.
They were being, well, I mean, I do think there is a known thing in the media that they, like, they would have hired the paparazzi to take those pics of them looking big.
Oh yeah, so then, they'd have the snapback. I remember that.
So Charlotte obviously brought out one, and this was before they kind of got into the surgery, and Vicky was known for her workout DVDs, and she, you know,
she made a lot of money off them. As far as I remember, she was,
because they'd
really
have
successful.
This cardboard cutout of them as the big paparazzi photo, and then in a bandeau dress,
and she was
standing
like
next to it, being like, oh, yeah, and she was tiny, and everyone's buying these DVDs and freaking killing themselves and eating what 1,200 calories a day or whatever. And
I meanwhile she was
doing
HIIT
workouts.
Meanwhile she was bulimic.
Yeah, and but we were lapping that up.
Yeah,
but in the same regard. You know, but if you're consuming like these people's Instagrams, like Chloe and Charlotte and Holly, and if you're following them, you're like absorbing this, like, okay, this is the look. They're happy. All I have to do is, you know, if you're getting influenced to get surgery. Mm-hmm. And you may not even know. It's like advertisements. You're like driving in your car. You're not noticing like advertisements on the radio that are soaking up and like subconsciously going under your skin. If you're like following these people subconsciously, you're just kind of creating a beauty standard. You know, it is in your own hands in a certain degree, like who you follow and who you consume and stuff like that. And I do notice that like all these girls from Geordie Shore very much look the same.
That's the weird thing.
Beauty standard within their little sub group.
Yeah, and then that's trickling down, as you said, to the masses, you know, that way, like that is a certain look now. That look never used to exist. Like when we were growing up, like a plastic surgery look was just like a girl with fake boobs. Now it's like a whole package. It's like, you know what I mean? It's this frozen face, huge. They also, like, I mean, this isn't to be shady, but it's just a fact. Like, I find that a lot of this look involves overloading your face with filler. So your face becomes very large looking or something.
Like quite masculine.
I've even noticed it on, like, Real Housewives of Salt Lake City, which I'm watching. There's one woman who owns, like, a filler thing, and, like, her face looks really big. Like, it's, like, huge. Like, it's a gigantism, you know, that way. And like,
it
it's
is,
like,
and it's a lot of the time because
you're adding mass to your face.
Yeah.
Fairness,
and they're not, you know? Like, you know, it isn't 100% proven that filler completely gets dissolved. A lot of it does just migrate. So if you're getting like consistent filler in your cheeks or jaw or wherever you're getting,
especially
it,
if you're getting too much
migrate.
Too quick.
And you very much see that with Chloe and especially Charlotte. Charlotte, for me, I can look at Chloe and I actually am like, look, she, when I look at Charlotte on Instagram stories or YouTube, I just can't unsee the work, it, and it makes me sad because
I'm kind of like that with your one
with Chloe.
Chloe to me is like, whoa, like,
I mean, she's crazy looking, but I'm like, there's still a little part of her that I would consider pretty.
There's still a part. I would see, the thing is with Charlotte for me, I can still see her beneath it. I know it's extreme, don't get me wrong, but let's talk about Charlotte and Marnie, because they were both kind of the same kind of brand of girl. They were like the natural girl. Marnie, even like, you know, her whole intro, I think at one point,
yeah, natural boobs, natural hair.
Yeah, natural hair. She had this gorgeous hair.
I know. Like, this carpet of Demi Moore hair.
Like, shiny fucking brown hair.
Heavy.
She was, all the guys when she came in, they were like, no way, she natural. You know, like, she was like known for this natural beauty. And it was, and she actually stayed away from the fillers for a long time.
She maintained that and was proud of that.
Yeah. And then all of a sudden it was like, boom, she got this cheek filler that made her look plastic. It made her look like a Barbie doll mannequin, not in a good way.
Yeah, it made her look like a man.
Very, yeah, very masculine,
like,
looking.
It's
the jaw filler especially, I find, does that.
Yeah, 100%.
Charlotte, I think, like, now the main thing with Charlotte is like, which is so sad because, like, there's nothing more. I love a strong nose in a person.
I
think that, like, one of the worst, like, not worst, that's a terrible, but, like, I think one of the things that so many people think they need, that I just find takes away so much individuality, is the nose job. I love,
yeah,
a strong nose. Like, no matter if you've got a hooked nose, I think a hooked nose on a woman is gorgeous. It's so, and it used to be actually like a beauty standard, like in Egypt and like a Roman nose. This was like, it was known as like a noble thing to have. Like, it was like a higher bred person would have this like strong nose.
Like a royal nose.
Yeah. But now it's like everyone wants these tiny sloped, itsy bitsy pinched noses, and they look like skulls.
I know. It's, like, that's what I mean with Charlotte. It's just, and I remember watching, and I think this was before she got like the third nose job or whatever. She actually still did look quite nice. She was on Loose Women or something, and I think Janice Street Porter was kind of questioning her about it and saying, like, why didn't you get therapy if you were insecure about something? Why did you just have to fix it instead of trying to fix the inside? And she clearly looked so uncomfortable because, like, that was just maybe not how they were handling things. And I just feel like, especially for, like, with Chloe, I think because she looks like more of an archetype of the Instagram girl.
I get you, yeah.
Charlotte, it's just like every YouTube, every comment, every Daily Mail thing, it's like the poor girl, that's all comments about how bad her surgery is. She looks like Pete Burns. She, like,
but I don't think it's herself. That her surgery is worse. I think it's because, like, I don't know, she's always just been dragged so much. I mean, like, maybe it's the longevity that she's been in the public eye. She was way more famous than Chloe. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
I think she looks more different than, like, I think
I can still see her in her work, and I still think it's really drastic. Chloe, for me, it's like you literally are a different human being. You've changed not only your face, you've changed every inch of your body.
I just feel like, yeah, I totally agree with the body thing. The body thing is like, wow, okay.
And I don't even mean that in a way of like changing those. I don't even think that changing those things are inherently bad. I don't really care about what anyone does surgery-wise. Like, it really doesn't bother me whatsoever. It's like buying a car. Like, I don't care if you've bought a new ass. Who gives a fuck? But I think it's just the health risk for me. I'm like, elective surgery,
it's like the health risk, but it's also like, I understand, well, like, I can understand wanting surgery, but I think I find it like quite horrifying when they're doing it in such quick succession.
Hold on,
you've just got off the plane from Turkey with your new ass, and now you're going back over to get the tits, you're going and back over to get the finger. It's like
compounded with the health thing, and it's like your body has to heal.
And it's also just the same, like, tattoos. I obviously do tattoos. People a lot of the time write to me, they're like, hey, can I come over and get 5 in one day? It's like, just get one.
Yeah. See how you go.
Slowly, see how you go. Like, you have to get used to something new in your body, see how you feel. It's like moving into a home and doing it all in one go, and then being like, fuck, I wish I put the kitchen there. I wish I did, you know. It's like, let yourself live in your body for a little bit longer, because you're going to be in your body forever and ever.
Yeah.
So, like, for the entirety of your life, you're going to be in this body. How do you know that you want to be like, you know, the way they always say, like, oh, when you're 80, those tattoos are going to be looking awful. It's like, yeah, how will a BBL look on a fucking 85-year-old? Well,
that's the crazy thing. I mean, people have been getting tattoos way longer than they have BBLs.
And like, I mean,
we know how
skin, also skin wrinkles.
Yeah, but like we know, like, you know, you can look at books from like 100 years ago and they have like tribes in the 1700s full of tattoos and they're 80. You know, we know how it'll look.
Yeah.
And also it's so normalized now, it's fine. But like having something foreign, I remember in, there was an episode of Geordie Shore, just as we wrap up the Geordie Shore element, girls, there was an episode, it literally lives in my mind rent free, when Holly Hagen's, I think it was her boob implant, or was it her bum? It was her bum implant.
Okay.
Flipped inside her. And like, so like, if you think of an implant that's flat on the back and then curved on this side, the curve was going into her ass, so her ass cheek was flat.
Ooh, concaved.
And she had to, it could have been her boob, I can't remember. But it was either her or Sophie, one of them. I always get them mixed up. But I remember she was like, it's gone. She's like, you can usually flip it yourself. So to go to the hot, it was like, I'm like, you're walking around with a box bum.
A moving object in your
two
body.
Two boxes.
I know.
It's just, we don't know. Like, people have to get them taken out all the time. I remember, like, Yolanda from Real Housewives of Beverly Hills had to get, like, all of her, and Michelle Visage had to get her boobs taken out because it was, like, giving her some sort of disease.
I know. Like, these things are, it's
foreign objects.
It's insane, but it is crazy to see in
succession is mental.
The success and how quick this happened. Like, I mean, you know, like you were saying, it came out when you were 21.
9 years ago.
You're 31.
Yeah.
And they've gone through such an evolution of, you know, fame. And I mean, now it's interesting now because they're at the point now where it's like, okay, you're getting the same jobs as like Niamh Cullen might be in Dublin. You know, that kind of like influencer.
Well, even
shit.
Lower level, it's like High Smile and like
and
diet.
It's like those little air fresheners. And it's
diet
like,
teas when they were legal.
And you see people like Katie Price, for example, who's like, you know, I've been following her for years, just like subconsciously, like subconsciously I have eight of her books on my bookshelf.
Just in passing.
Look, I don't follow her per se, but you know, now she's with this new guy. It's the same shit that she's been doing 20 years ago. She just like, new guy, man of my dreams, never found a love like this. Biggest dick I've ever seen, getting the tattooed nail, like all of that stuff. And it's like, and but she's kind of like a well-oiled ship. She seems to kind of understand it, and she's like one in a million. These girls, it's like, how are you going to maintain this relevancy?
Yeah. So crazy, girls. Let us know what you think. So let's move on to a lighter topic. We're going to be talking about Pete Burns, who is, I mean, we both love, I mean, how can you not love fucking Pete Burns? An icon. Lindsay's very knowledgeable about him. We're going to be talking about his time on Big Brother. Because
and post-Big Brother as well.
Yeah, and post-Big Brother too. Like, for beginning in Big Brother, I mean, I think he was just like, it's just so good to have like a bank of clips of Pete Burns, you know, that way. Because before he was like, you know, this pop star, he was obviously in the media. There was snapshots of him being like this extravagant guy, but he was also an enigma to an extent. You know, people didn't know, is he trans? Like, what's going on? His crazy. Is he like his, obviously his plastic surgery as well as a common theme was like really extreme, but he seemed to kind of own it.
Well, we weren't sure. I think
true.
He obviously, Dead or Alive is his band. He has that iconic viral song or his one hit wonder or whatever. You Spin Me Round. And he came onto the scene in the 80s and he had like these big kind of afro, and then he
like Boy George-ish kind of like that glam rock kind of you know thing,
a new romantic kind of vibe,
and which was very accepted then, so it wasn't as crazy you know.
No, and then he went through, he decided to get a lot of surgery facially. He didn't get work. He was covered in tattoos, but like his face, he really drastically changed his face. He was wearing these wigs. He got a top surgeon in London did his lips. And I remember him talking about it. He went into the surgeon. They said, look, we don't have Juvederm today. We have something else. And he was like, yeah, he trusted this doctor. They put it in and it migrated all under his lips, under his eyes, this filler, whatever it was.
He got a really bad reaction to it as well.
Really, really bad. Well, it was...
Yeah, his body was rejecting it, I think it was. Yeah.
And so he had to then spend, I'm thinking, like 3 to 6 months in Italy. He had to go over and have like surgeries daily to like, it was like pus was like oozing out of his mouth. I watched Botched with him and it's like grotesque. But if you're thinking about surgery, watch that and then think again maybe. But he was known for his look. Like, you know the way there's that, like before, say, Geordie Shore, there was these iconic celebrities like Pete Burns and the Cat Lady and, you know, different kind of known kind of celebrities who would have fucked up their face, mm-hmm. you know, inverted commas, like
mm-hmm. the surgery
people. Yeah. And Pete Burns was one. But when he went on Big Brother, like you were saying, he was kind of an enigma. There was like, we didn't know much about him. And then he went on and he, I think, which shocked the kind of public when he was speaking about his surgery. Like, first of all, a lot of the older contestants, if you're watching, if you want to rewatch a Celebrity Big Brother, this is
where do you watch it?
On YouTube.
Oh, it's all on YouTube.
Yeah, just put in CBB Series 7, I think it is. And yeah, it's all on YouTube, and it is phenomenal.
Over Christmas,
because of an arc of celebrity, it's so iconic. Because it was the first year in Celebrity Big Brother that they put in Chantel Houghton, who was a non-celebrity, and it was kind of like you can see how it's like it kind of created the whole influencer world.
Yeah.
Because like Big Brother, civilian Big Brother was making and creating celebrities out of normal everyday people who worked in Tesco were like becoming these celebrities, and not for being on X Factor and having a voice, for just being. Having a Veruca, Jade Goody, that's what mm-hmm. kind of made her famous. And so then what they did, they obviously planted Chantel, pretended that she was in this band, Candy Floss, and saw if they could convince the other celebrities that they were big. So they had people like Jodie Marsh, another kind of known for her surgery, mm-hmm. Dennis Rodman, Rula, George Galloway, who was like Tony Blair's second-hand man. So it was such a random mix of people, which made it so iconic because they're going to clash, you know. Like,
we isn't look Dennis at Dennis Rodman the opposite of the ick?
Yeah,
he is. Dennis, such
Dennis Rodman's like Pete Farrell. It's like, no, Dennis Rodman can do it.
He is an enigma.
Y'all can't.
But he's just the opposite of the ick. He is just so sexy,
gorgeous, man. He's like 6'9"
and
or something.
Everything
mental.
About him, even the mentalness, it just makes him sexier.
Even mad to have him and Pete Burns in the home, because, like, you know, he was like, he would wear dresses, Dennis Rodman wouldn't.
Yeah.
But a very masculine,
super masculine guy.
Yeah, dominant,
but like,
man.
But also flirted with like gender bending.
Yeah. So Pete Burns in Big Brother, everyone was fascinated with him. He was the star. He didn't win, actually. Chantel Houghton won, which was like iconic.
Oh, she won that.
She won, yeah.
No fucking way.
But Pete Burns was the shine, like the star.
Yeah.
You know, and he was known for his one-liners. He had like a sharp tongue and incredible vocabulary.
Yeah.
Like, so smart. He would just like, and also like hilariously, viciously funny.
Yeah.
But wouldn't blink, wouldn't laugh when he was saying the most cutting things.
We have some examples here. Will I play them? Yeah. So girls, again, the links will be in the description if you want to watch this full thing. But this is just an example of Pete Burns being a cutting bitch.
Boy, give us a light, Rula.
You know I love you. You know that I love you.
You don't love me. You don't know me. And you probably never will. So you can't say you love me.
You say
you love your boyfriend. You say you love some shoes. Yeah. You say you love a perfume. It's a much abused word in your vocabulary. So consequently, you don't know the meaning of love, because fundamentally, you don't love yourself. Oh my God, I really do. I would never say to you, I love those boots. I'd say,
they
I like those boots.
Bitch. Who would say they love these boots?
Don't divert me, bitch. I would say,
did you come here, bitch?
I like, ho. I like your boots. I like your boots. I like your boots, transsexual. I like your boots.
I'm not a transsexual.
I like your boots.
Okay.
I wouldn't say I love them. I love my boyfriend and I love
you
myself.
You should love Michael.
You don't know Michael. He'd probably spit on your tits.
Maybe he would. I love the way you dress. That's what I'm saying.
You don't love the way I'm dressed. You like the way I'm dressed.
I don't want to hear it. You stop talking with her.
I don't want to hear it because it's tiresome. You're just trying to fill a space with meaningless words. You might as well say to me, ying tong tin lai po. It means nothing.
We're fighting for no reason.
I'm not fighting. You're talking
rubbish. I mean, like, so...
So cutting.
Quite
a bully.
So quick.
So quick, but got away with it because the stuff that he was coming out was genius. And as well, he owned it. And like, you know, there was conversations going on in the house from like people like George Galloway and Rula, and Jodie Marsh was very like, if she was in it now, she would be cancelled as fuck. She was calling him a crossdresser, a trans, and like demanding him to label himself as these things.
Yeah.
Where he, you know, he came out with these great one-liners like, nature played a trick on me. She put a big old dick on me.
It's like, would so always, like, you said, like Jeffree Star. Like.
Yeah, and would go around with these like tiny hot pants, the dick swinging, and but would say like, yes, he didn't have like, there was nothing gender about his transformation.
Yeah.
He was like rooted and stoic in the fact that he was like, I wanted to look like this. Or no, I needed to look like mm-hmm. this. He was like, when I was growing up, I was so uncomfortable. Like, it's kind of like, it was similar to the conversation of being like born in the wrong gender, but he was born in the wrong face. That's how he kind of identified. He was like, I couldn't live with that look. I had to do this to myself. He was like,
I mean, he looked great.
And he looked amazing. Like at that point, he was beautiful. He had come back from Italy. He had finally got the lips kind of reconstructed and figured that all out. Now, however, he never on Big Brother, he woke up at like 5 a.m. The man never slept. He woke and he slept like a geisha, like with a wig on, makeup on, lying down. And he would like, there's only like two bathrooms in the whole house and there's so many of them. And he would be like waking up at 5, going in the bathroom, I'd think for about 4 hours, putting on his makeup, coming out, refused to not wear heels. Like in the tasks and stuff, he was like, I can't not wear heels. So he was like, this is how I need to be. And so passionate about that. And because he was so kind
of like self-accepting.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's interesting when you look at it compared to the Geordie Shore stuff, you know, it's like people like manipulating and like completely like changing their entire look, but never having enough of it and not really knowing maybe why they're doing it. Like, you know what I mean? But like Pete Burns is the example of like, yes, extreme surgery, but like a really like fixed and like solid reasoning for why. Yeah, and
he's not denying it. It wasn't frivolous surgery of like trend based, oh, BBLs are huge, everything's getting them fucked.
Totally.
It was quite unique and very much like self-interested. It wasn't for other people. He just had this like very flamboyant extrovert like look. And
but I also mean, like a reasoning for why he wanted it. You know, that way as in like, oh no, this is how I want to look.
It was almost like a performance piece, because then like Pete Burns kind of transcended his, you know, his music career. And like when he came out of Big Brother, they re-released Spin Me Right Round and stuff. But like he was famous for being Pete Burns and being like literally like a performance artist.
Yeah.
Through his surgery. But it was amazing because he did really kind of, you know, when before conversations of gender were really coming into like the media and stuff like that, you know, and they were kind of questioning, I think people were very kind of perplexed by who Pete was and what he identified as. And people, you know, it's kind of reminiscent to today where we're really interested in labeling and what are you and what's your sexual orientation or your gender or your job or whatever. He said on Big Brother, he was like, I fully identify as a man. And I think that is what made him like incredible, because he looked quite effeminate. He was elegant, wore feminine, like he wore like head to toe Vivienne Westwood, like corsets and hot pants and makeup. But he had this like fully masculine like personality. And like he could come up against Dennis Rodman. He was like the big swinging dick in that house. Like he was the ruler of that house. And the two dynamics made him such an interesting person. Funny in that clip that you put with Tracy Bingham from Baywatch, who was like just a kind of Barbie doll. She didn't really offer anything to that series, but it was kind of funny because she couldn't keep up with the English wit. She didn't have any kind of, you know, her brain was just rattling around her head and she was like, what the fuck? Where am I?
Am I in Britain?
It's amazing where Americans go on this show, because a lot of them, they just wouldn't even have seen it. Like, like Jackie Stallone, God rest her, 2020, sad that she died.
I know.
But she hadn't a clue. She was like, where's my cocktail? And they were like, no, you get designated one glass of wine a night. She was like, what? I need my cocktail. I have a cocktail before dinner and after dinner every day. And it's like, they don't understand. It's like, have you heard of Big Brother? They're like, no, I just know I'm getting paid.
Yeah, they're just like, I'll do this gig, whatever. What is it? Big Brother, cool.
Yeah.
Fun.
Their agent's like, honey, go on. They're like, okay. And then they're like, what? It's so funny. And because you'll have these like old Hollywood stars that are like not used to this.
And haven't
treatment.
Been in the public eye probably in like years. Mm. You don't even know their personality.
Yeah,
you
know, it's that so way? Funny. But Pete Burns, you know, was speaking about like he always had a picture. He was married to a woman for like 10 years and they maintained like a really deep friendship. I think they even lived together. And then he, Michael, he always went on about his husband he was obsessed with. And Michael's really normal. Like Norm Corson would say. And he always walked around with like his little picture of the two of them on, like aww, clipped onto his clothing. But post Big Brother, obviously he got huge. This really, like, he was the standout star. Him and George Galloway became like really close friends, which was such an odd pairing.
Such an odd pairing, but I love it.
It was amazing because they were both on the same intellectual level.
Yeah.
But it did so happen. There's an amazing documentary. It's kind of bad quality, but on YouTube, called Unspun, Pete Burns Unspun. And it's about when he comes out of the house, he gets embroiled in some kind of domestic abuse situation with his husband and was actually put in prison.
Mm-hmm.
And for some reasoning, he whoever gave him his bail, he had to live with them.
Oh,
when
yeah,
he got released.
I remember you telling me.
And
about
this whole documentary is about, like, George Galloway was like away. He wasn't in the country and he was trying to post his bail, but he couldn't. He fell through or whatever. So some super fan paid for his bail and he had to go and live in this person's house. And it is hilarious. You see Pete Burns walking into this, like, semi-detached, like, in some brummy flipping estate with like, you know, a camera crew.
Yeah.
And he walks in and this little gremlin of a man is like, "Hello, Pete. You're the most beautiful woman I've ever seen."
Oh my God.
Being so insane. And Pete is just so funny the way he's going on.
I'll
he's
be like, watching that later.
"Where's your bathroom?" And he's like, "Upstairs to the left. Will I come with
the
you?"
The fact
like,
they made a TV show about it as well is like,
and
what?
The man had a shrine. He had Pete Burns' wedding veil. And all this stuff that he'd bought off eBay. And it's in this tiny little weird house. And Pete is just so funny. He's like, "Am I going to go up and find your mom strapped to the bed?" Like, and somehow gets out of it by being like, "I need a bath. I can't stay here. I need a bath. I need a Black and Decker all over me." Like, this kind of stuff. So he kind of got away with everything. And
so he got out of that situation?
Yeah, he got to stay in a hotel. But it's just a hilarious documentary to see that whole dynamic between, like, Pete Burns, like, imagine.
So does he live there for a while though?
Yeah, I think he doesn't stay the night, but like, okay, some of the documentary is like their interactions.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
there's
yeah.
a point of where the fan reads a poem that he'd made for Pete and he recites it to him and it is like, "You're intoxicating cunt," like, so intense. And Pete is just sat there sucking on a fag with a big balloon lips being like, "Dear God," it's so iconic.
And so what happened with him and his
husband,
did they get back together?
Got back together, stayed together till the end of his life. And you don't find anything, because, like, I'm so obsessed with Pete Burns. I would love to know how Michael's doing or, like, what they're doing.
Private
with, like, so private. And, like, Pete Burns, like, I think there was some kind of bankruptcy going on at the end of his life. And, like, but he had, like, a catalogue and art, a catalogue or a historic, like, Vivienne Westwood pieces. Like, he was a fashion collector.
What's the name of that one about his clothes? The fashion one where they go through all his shit. That's such a good documentary. I remember that.
Yeah, it's kind of like where they're going through his wardrobe.
It's great.
And he just has some beautiful pieces. I think, like, he did have bankruptcy and he, like, his appearance did drastically change. He got, like, a ton of piercings at one point.
Yeah.
He was at his, like, at his peak on that Big Brother.
Yeah.
It was 2007. He looked incredible. He was so slim. He had these tattoos. He just dressed so incredibly. Like, he went into the Big Brother house.
Oh, such 2007.
I know.
I was in school.
He had, like, that big white fur. The whole,
the gorilla fur.
The gorilla fur coat that went down, which actually wasn't gorilla, but, like, he was just, I mean, that is, like, you know, it's amazing. Like, when people like the Geordie Shore girls are being compared to Pete Burns, who was so able to take the kind of attention that opting in for that kind of drastic look takes. You know, like, I'd say, like we were saying, the Geordie Shore girls, when they are, they're kind of, they're fitting into a stereotype that they live in. Within their world, you know, within their few friends, it's normal to look like that.
Mm-hmm.
But then, you know, surely you're going to kind of, like, move on and, like, expand your friend group. And it must be quite, like, I can imagine looking like that all the time in a world, you know, the way, like, like, we wear, like, you know, short skirts, shorts and stuff like that. And, you know, this year I've been going out wearing my shorts and getting more, you know, the same attention that I usually would. But I'm like, oh, fuck it, I can't be arsed this year. I just want to walk up Henry Street without being like, "I own a place."
Yeah, you get sick of the fucking cunt. But then the weird thing is, like, I don't think if someone, like, the way your one Marnie or Chloe or whatever is looking, I don't think they'd get looks if they were walking down the street. People are more shocked at you and I wearing shorts or bare legs during the day than they would someone with a load of filler.
I think facial filler... maybe, but, like, when it gets to the body, when you see, like, I have not really seen that.
I haven't
kind
seen
of
a lot of it in real life.
Guitar body in real life. I'd love to.
Oh, me too.
But I can't imagine that ass walking down the street.
That
ass. No.
So finally, to end the episode, another person who was on Celebrity Big Brother and someone who got a lot of drastic surgery once again is Farrah Abram, who obviously got famous from being on Teen Mom, the original Teen Mom, which I stand that show. I fucking love. I still watch it sometimes. If it's on TV, the new ones, I'm just, only the OG.
If I need to cry, I will always watch Caitlin and Tyler.
Oh.
She had a miscarriage, did you see?
No.
Yeah, I know. Oh, I'm like, can you stop trying for kids? Because you are not mentally capable.
They have to, don't they?
They do, yeah. But like, she's been in and out of kind of...
like depressive mode. Yeah. They're always like on that couple's counselling show.
I know. And they're getting like their vows renewed. It's like, hey.
Yeah, it's like, oh God.
Yeah.
You definitely should not still be together.
Yeah. Poor Tyler's like, help, help. His eyes are screaming.
They are. And like their mom and dad, I mean, they're a whole different
Yeah.
But Farrah Abram,
though, she didn't get surgery.
So do you remember Farrah? The thing with Farrah Abram that was interesting was like, she was actually quite...
affluent.
Well, yeah, that was interesting because obviously the majority of people on Teen Mom were like from lower income families, you know, and like also teen pregnancy is something that usually people would associate with like lower income housing or lower income families. You know, that it just is what it is. People associated with that. But Farrah was different because she was from a very, she was a cheerleader. She was from a quite a wealthy family. You could tell by their houses. Now they were separated parents and all.
Were they always separated?
I don't think they were.
No, they were together at the start.
They were together. And it was also, she had a really sad story because she got pregnant with her boyfriend who was like on the football team and she was the head cheerleader. It was like this like American fucking fairy tale thing apart from the teen pregnancy. And, while she was pregnant, he got in a car crash and was killed. Mm. And he was really supportive of like their pregnancy, like he was going to stay with her. The family were like supportive. But then this whole thing just like seemed to, you know, you were really rooting for her. I feel in the first few seasons of Teen Mom, you really wanted her. Like it was really sad, like when she was like going to the grave.
I know. And something went down with his family, the boyfriend's family.
Yeah. As the seasons like rolled out, it was like, I think they didn't like Teen Mom.
And I don't think they were active in
Sophia at all.
Sophia, and I don't think they liked that she kind of spoke about, she kind of made
Derek, wasn't that his name? Derek?
Yeah, she kind of made like him famous. And I think they were like, can you not make her dead son famous, please?
She can't, yeah, like I think they didn't like that she brought it into the show and that they were doing the show in general.
Mm-hmm.
And that like she was talking about it.
I mean, like the whole world knows that your son died, like that's intense to take on,
but then I guess
amongst grief, especially if totally. They were like a, you know, we don't know, I don't think they were together for like that long or whatever.
I think they were high school sweethearts.
Yeah, but like I mean, I don't think they were together for like a super long time.
Yeah, I guess they were 16, so how long could they be together? Exactly. But like I do also see it from her perspective though, where it's like, I mean, she chose to go on the show, which is like whatever your opinion on that is, you know, but she couldn't really tell the story without that being part of the story because it was still so fresh. Like, because Teen Mom, it was 16 and pregnant. So they were pregnant when she went on the show.
But I guess things like bringing the filming crew to the grave is...
That was later on. Yeah. But I think they were annoyed even that she brought it in general.
It was quite secretive. I don't think, like, we never saw them, I don't think, did we?
No. They would never be on the show. They always had a lot of drama though. She was always saying that his parents were annoyed. And obviously as the years went on, like she was always a bit bratty, but you could kind of...
Spoiled,
bratty. But you always had a bit of sympathy for her because of the situation. And also you also, you know, she was different. She was kind of, you could tell she was very smart. Like she was like finishing school, going to college, you know, that way. And you were rooting for her. We were all rooting for you, Farrah. But as the years went on, and ironically, you know, you're seeing these other people from way less privileged backgrounds than her actually persevere and getting a house, getting their GED, going to college,
and again
raising their child
regardless of their, now some of them again,
no, like so the, I mean there was a lot of problems with a
Amber,
lot of them.
Macy probably is the most successful out of the teen moms
together.
She was original as well, wasn't she?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she, her and Farrah had like, a big blowout
later on.
Teen Mom OG,
the sex tape, wasn't it?
Yeah, she didn't want to be on the show because she did shame her.
Yeah, she sex tape shamed her and that's sick. But yeah, Macy was very much like, she's the most kind of together. She kind of very much had the...
While also going through hardships. I mean, her fucking baby daddy was like a drug addict.
And still is.
Still is. Falling asleep at the wheel on camera on the way to his wedding.
And now, and that weird ass wife, he's like, I'm pregnant again, Ryan. And it's like,
he's like goofing.
It's dark. Very as dark. Hell. Dark as I hell. Mean, and he was so hot.
Gorgeous.
He was the hottest dad on the show
by a mile.
So good looking.
And Farrah, when she was on that show, was stunning. So pretty, like just so gorgeous.
Ryan Edwards is like, now he is just
another
bloated, grey, dirty.
And Macy, you know, she came from a very like normal like class, you know, like she was very normal from like, I think she's from like Georgia, like some kind of like.
She was a cheerleader as well, but fair play to her. Like she maintained the friendship with like Ryan's parents and just really seems to have like a good moral compass, which is rare in the show. Mm-hmm. But Farah,
she never grew up. She's like that type of teen mom that got pregnant at 16 and like her brain stopped developing at 16. Like, it was just so sad to see. She got brattier and brattier. Then there was the breakup of her family and she would refuse to call her dad dad. She called him Michael. And that was always a weird thing.
And Deborah, wasn't it?
Deborah, yeah. She'd be like, Deborah and Michael. And she'd always just be like, I'm pretty sure she also tried to like get, what's that thing where you're like divorced from your parents? And like the parents were
Macaulay Culkin did it.
Yeah. And like the parents were nothing but, I mean, obviously all parents, I'm sure, have like faults and all the rest. We never know the full story of someone.
But from what we saw,
they were at least the first few years, her parents were nothing but supportive and wanting her to like, they like got her an apartment. Mm. They like they used their privilege to like set this girl up with a fucking life. It should not, like, obviously having a kid at 16, God, couldn't imagine how hard it would be, you know, that way. But it's no doubt that it's made fucking easier when your family are clearly loaded and you're being given a house and giving childcare and all this kind of
stuff.
And
supported her, yeah. So they didn't throw her out of the house. They like helped her so much.
Loved the child, you know. But I think I remember there was always like this kind of like underlying thing of, there was something to do with the dad, the Derek. It was like she thought they weren't supportive through it. Maybe they didn't like him or something. I remember that was some sort of storyline. Like she thought that Michael didn't ever like Derek or like never like acknowledged his death or something, which is also like, did he not? Or are you just like on another planet? She obviously went, like, there was this really, you know, a quote from Farah. This is when Sophia was 4. So this is still when Teen Mom was running. It's this thing called Shocker of the Week. Farah takes a break from her 4-year-old. These days, former Teen Mom star Farah Abrams spends most of her time appearing in strip clubs or giving interviews, but she insists time apart from her daughter, Sophia, 4, isn't hurting her. It's healthy that we have a little break, claims Farah, 22, whose dad lives near her and Sophia in Texas. She has her own life and is doing her own thing. I'm doing mine.
Insane. Like, and like, out of all the kids... Sophia, like she was biting people and stuff. Like,
oh no, she was having full on
like a feral dog.
She was having like outbreaks, like, you know, like really like
she was just being dragged up by this Barbie doll on acid or whatever the hell. Like Farah, when she went on Celebrity Big Brother, it was kind of like when you know Celebrity Big Brother. It
changed. It wasn't on Channel 4 anymore as well. It was on Channel 5.
Once Davina McCall left that show, the show died. According to me. Quote me, come for me, I don't care.
Well, you are the Big Brother, you know, that you have the knowledge.
I know my shit.
You know your shit. I would never doubt.
Thank you. Now, there was great ones, like we had the one with Jeremy McConnell and, you know, Tiffany Potter.
But it wasn't the essence of the show.
Yeah, because Emma Willis, she just didn't, like Davina McCall.
No, she is Big
loved
Brother.
That show so much. It's and like that her passion baby. Just Yeah, and she was always pregnant, big mother, she used to call herself. But when Farah Abraham was on it, she was on it with Janice Dickinson.
Yeah.
There was... Who else was on it? There was like a gay guy and it was like Austin. He was, I think, some kind of, he wasn't famous for anything other than an affair, I think. And another guy from like Made in Chelsea were at The Apprentice and he was straight and she was absolutely hated in that house. And she was, to be honest, vile. I love reality show. I love drama on reality show. Mm-hmm. But
and I love a villain, but that was just... other level.
She was just, I guess, to the point, and this is when like reality TV kind of dies, is when like it's like, and a lot of the time I see it more, well, you see it as well, I noticed it first ever when I noticed this kind of happening, this like new trend on reality TV show, because I grew up with it and I could see, like, I watched the first Big Brother and it was literally like watching like people just be. It was the complete utter like voyeurism and like pushing people to the limits and, you know, seeing, stressing them out to see how humans react. It was like a social experiment. But then, you know, people cottoned on to the fact, okay, I will garner more attention from being vile or from being, you know, villain. Dramatic and fighting.
They
and
knew there was like
that.
Archetypes like of characters on the show that they could get to become famous. You know, that way.
So by the time Farah Abraham was on, you could tell that actually, and I think it is truly her personality. It's like, I don't think it's like, we always say like separate the art from the artist, but like I think Farah became this, like she was created by the show.
Yeah.
And she turned into this villain.
She was a
villain.
Product of
this
that.
Is what we created as a society and as like a media obsessed world, who like we made this weird media baby.
And
like,
you even saw that in the later, remember when they brought back Teen Mom was Teen Mom OG, and it was like they'd grown up, their kids were like yeah. 6 or 7, and they brought the producers into it. Remember, it was
yeah,
like
I loved
they
would, that.
I loved that because that was the best part. When
they that were, was because you never thought of that. Like, yeah, how,
they were the same producers that they would work with. Like,
they
Farrah,
were friends.
Yeah, like Farrah had this woman, I can't remember her name, but like she was the producer. So all they would have in the room was like a cameraman and a producer, mm-hmm. two people. Now, maybe the cameraman would change. They never really addressed that. But the producer would always be with the same girl or the same family, you know. So Farrah had
And a
this,
lot of the time they were female.
Yeah. Farrah had
kind of mentors.
Yeah, the same woman who would be there with her when she was pregnant. She's been seen all this shit play out. And she was horrible to her.
Oh, it was she uncomfortable
was like,
viewing.
She was like, fuck off, Stephanie. Like, she was just speaking to her on this level. I remember even like Dr. Drew was like in the reunions. It was just this, like Deborah, her mom, would be sitting there bawling, crying, being like, I just want my daughter back. I want to see my granddaughter. And she'd be like, well, maybe you should stop being such a fucking cunt.
I know, she, the stuff, the venom. And I remember there was an amazing part of Big Brother, which, you know, you see them on Teen Mom, but you don't see them getting challenged sometimes, yeah. which is frustrating. So when she went on Big Brother, you actually got to see her. No, she did, because she was so violent, her venom just spat from her mouth. She really did take over that household with just like, it wasn't even like, I said, I love a fight, but she was just spewing hate for the sake of it, not having any foundation or reason for saying these things. She was just being like a complete, like she was saying, like calling like a straight man a homo because he was friends with the game, like being so, so vile and awful and like shocking, to the point of it just being quite, like frankly, uncomfortable viewing.
Like
I'm not enjoying this. This is cringing me and tensing me up. But there was, I'm not sure who it was. It was a British comedian, older man, and they were doing these like, live nominations where they do it face to face nominations, and he had Farrah's picture, and he said, you know, commenting on her kind of look, and he said like, you are the most vile, disgusting person that I've ever had the, you know, I'm so upset that I met you and that I had to, I'm in this situation. Unfortunately, I met you. You're the worst person I've ever met. And no amount of lip gloss can cover up the venom that lives inside you and the evil that exists in you. Oh. And that was like, mic drop, shit. He went there, and it's like, so true. If you are gross, you can get your BBL. Yeah. She was bopping around that gaff with her little arse and her tits and her nose and her everything. And it's like,
and she got like very extreme surgery.
You're grotesque. You're grotesque. Yeah. There's nothing that can change that because you are so horrible to people.
She, yeah. And it was like, you could tell that her, like, we're going to look at the surgery thing, like, her surgery definitely came from like severe self-hatred, I think, you know, like, and that was spewed out. And like, she's one of these people that, like, clearly has, like, I don't know, I mean, issues is an understatement, you know, that way she needs, and like, you know, the way that she's manipulated her body, the way that she's like, even carried herself through the media, and like, not even to like shame her for her like sex tape, but the way she went about it was just so contrived as well. It's like, she pretended that it was she said it was a leaked sex tape. It was a fully produced porno with James Franco. Not James Franco. What's his name? James Dean.
Yeah, yeah. It was a porn star.
A porn star who's a professional.
Who also had a girlfriend at the time.
Yeah.
So she was trying to make it out that he cheated on his girlfriend and like, you know.
Yeah, she was like, that was a private sex tape. It's like, that was one of the most clear.
I don't watch porn, but come on.
No, but that
you
was like, it was also like, her, it was like, bound, down. Yeah. And she was like walking up the spiral.
It was
spiral,
in 4K.
She was like walking up the spiral staircase, and it was like, it had a cheesy plot.
Yeah.
Like, she was trying to say that we were dating and we decided, oh, because he's a porn star, we're going to like make this like, and he leaked it. So not only is he like revenge porning your ass, he was cheating on his girlfriend.
And he's now not considered professional. I'm not sure anything about his career otherwise, but like, yeah, it was dark. And then from then on, the teen moms all went against her, like as a pack.
Amber had her back for a while.
Oh, really?
Amber did have her back because she was quite close to her, I think. I think they kind of bonded over like just being maybe chaotic and like.
Yeah, because Amber had her own
struggles.
Domestic abuse shit.
Yeah, and Amber was just.
Remember that interview? Did Dr. Drew go
where,
into
yes,
the prison?
Yes, we're in prison. Iconic in jumpsuit. I want to rewatch some of like, I mean,
that
Teen
was
crazy.
Mom
was Teen Mom, and I'm talking like, you know, the originals.
Yeah,
like Macy,
the Journey. Yeah, Caitlin,
Janelle,
Amber, Janelle,
Kiefer.
Oh my gosh, Janelle.
And she got on heroin.
And like, she still fucked.
Oh no, only recently, like the guy that she's married was like, it was only a few years ago, like there was like, they're always in domestic, like the police are always being called.
He's a very scary
man. He had
a
rifle. He was like shooting in their home.
He shot their dog.
Yeah.
Because it bit their daughter and the kids were taken off them for that. He shot their new puppy in front of...
In front of the kids. Jace. Insane. And Jace is still with Barbara. Barbara, what an angel.
She is an angel, but there's a weird live stream of Barbara and Janelle being drunk together. So that really made me kind of see Barbara in a different light. Now, I do think she is an angel and thank God.
Why is she not let be drunk with her daughter?
Because what we kind of saw of Janelle and the relationship with her mother a lot of the time is that, like, she was the solid, you know, she was trying to help Janelle so much. She was anti the drug and the drink and, like, how that was implementing her life. Like, her son was taken off.
How drunk are we talking? Like, bad?
Slurring words and, like, yeah, no. Like, it wasn't like having a quiet drink, but I don't know much about addiction, but I'm assuming if you're on heroin, if my, God forbid, if, like, someone in my family had been on heroin and had, like, a huge history of, drug and drink abuse, I probably wouldn't be getting pissed with them. Well, either way, you know,
like, it depends on your, like, your sobriety, as far as I know. But some people,
the most common, I think, way to be sober is to be kind of sober. Like, completely sober.
Yeah,
especially
yeah.
with, like, heroin, etc.
Yeah, I don't know, but, like, yeah, I mean,
I've watched a lot of Intervention.
I think Barbara is a good person.
I think she's a good person,
and I think she always really wants to connect with Janelle, from what I've seen.
No, I think
and,
she's like, a good person, but obviously she has her own struggles. Like, she was put through hell by her goddamn daughter.
And has had, hell. And also, like,
in and out of court.
From what we, but even beyond, like, Janelle, like, I mean, she was, grew up, like, Janelle grew up watching Barbara being beaten by, I'm pretty sure, their father. So, like, you know, she hasn't had, like, an easy life. And they were, like, really, you know, from a very low, they were like Caitlin and Tyler, you know, they're very low income. They were living in mobile homes almost from South Carolina, I believe, which is really poor, you know.
And just even, I mean, the way, again, that Janelle treated Barbara was horrific. And then, like, you know, Janelle got custody of Jace back and she's with this really scary man who has, like, I remember he put up on social media, like,
he's terrifying.
Loads and loads. He had, like, huge, vast amounts of bullets and firearms and all this kind of shit.
And wasn't he, like, also, like, I'm going to say, like, slightly KKK?
Yeah, I think
I'm pretty
so.
Sure stuff came out about him. Yeah. Because they do live in KKK, like South Carolina is where the KKK was founded, I think, north or south. One of them.
And it's quite obvious.
North Carolina, actually.
Like,
sorry.
Regardless of what you think about Janelle, it's quite obvious that, like, her pattern is that she gets with, like, she gets in very abusive relationships and gets controlled quite easily. She's vulnerable to that kind of treatment.
Maybe
so.
We should do a Teen Mom episode.
Oh my God,
there's so much in Teen Mom.
Yeah,
but, like,
but going back to Farrah, yeah, it is. She, out of all of them, she really opted for the surgery, right?
Yeah.
Which is what we're talking about today. Like, she really did go down that route, and it is, it's scary.
It's funny looking at all of them, you know, like the different reasoning for surgery and these, I wonder, is there like an archetype of person who's just so extreme, you know, that way that goes, it wants to be on TV and wants to be famous and gets all this surgery, and it's just so bizarre. But I think to end this episode, let's play a clip from Farrah Abrams' stunning song, Lindsay. Blowing.
Sing us out, baby. Out like a star.
Be true to you. Oh. Oh. Star. Woo! Yes, girl. Let me get that air, that
breeze, throw your hands up.
I'm blowing.
Let's get this party started. It's Christmas up in this bizarre.
Gullies. Get your eggnog and start blowing away. You know what we mean when we say blowing.
Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Merry. Hope you're having a wonderful time, girls, at home with your mum and dad. Shout out to your mum, dad, your granny, your great granny, whoever's there. Hope you got your granny a BBL for Christmas.
Let us know when you're getting the Chris Kindle with the girlies. And keep on keeping on, girls. We'll see you next week for more It Girls.
Bye, bitches.